Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Welcome our phone number 1-800-8-INYAR, 1-800-836-9278. Let's see, Yasser Arafat apparently disagrees with the saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Arafat obviously does not buy into the adage, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Yesterday, he told Osama bin Laden to stop talking about the Palestinian cause. He said, Osama, drop it. Huh. I actually didn't expect that. That took me a little off guard with Al-Qaeda blowing up that in Africa, blowing up that Jewish resort, and then missing the side of a barn, shooting at a jetliner with shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles, and they missed. And that was an Al-Qaeda attack, apparently, and after Israelis. So, and the Israeli government has said that Al-Qaeda operatives have infiltrated Gaza, the Gaza Strip. Remember Gaza in the Bible? That's where, remember David slew Goliath? And Goliath was from Gaza. That's where the Philistines lived. And that's where Palestine, that's where they got their name. Philistines, with the Roman Empire, they called that their the province Palestine. And, all right. Hey, let's see what else we have here. Oh, boy, what a tragic story. It continues. The Roman Catholic Church and their horrendous scandal about the children that have been molested by priests. Ever since the Catholic Church changed their policy and said that they would allow homosexuals to enroll in seminaries and that they would also ordain homosexuals, as long as they said that they would be celibate. And in fact, in some seminaries, I was reading an article in the magazine put out monthly by Focus on the Family. And this is just maybe a month ago or so, an article that said it. They told a story about a young seminarian who was really interested in becoming a priest. And he would read, he'd read about church history, and he was reprimanded by one of the professors, the administrators of the seminary, who said, you shouldn't be reading that. You should be reading Playboy. And he said that basically he was drummed out of the seminary and a homosexual who was there with him was ordained a priest. And just one example of the irony of what's going on in Roman Catholic seminaries since they decided to accept homosexuals in the seminary and ordain them as priests. Now, it was on the cover of the New York Times just a few weeks ago. We mentioned it that day or the day after on the show that the Vatican has proposed changing that so that homosexuals would not be admitted to seminary. Now, how was it publicly known even that homosexuals were allowed into Catholic seminaries? Now, for the most part, I don't think so. Well, Boston's Cardinal Bernard Law has now resigned, and there's about a dozen U.S. grand juries looking into allegations that bishops hid child sexual abuse by priests, which should be a crime. I mean, it comes not only negligence, it comes close to accessory. If you take a known child predator and you put him into a church, a diocese, a parish, and basically you sick priest on the kids, unbeknownst to the families, a bishop has relocated a sex offender, a child sex predator, into a new church, a new marketplace, for him to start his routine all over again. And so these grand juries are looking into this, and already several bishops have stepped down because of this scandal. And here in Colorado, we have a case. In fact, a little, maybe right after the break, we're going to try to get on the line a member of our Denver Bible Church. I pastor Denver Bible Church, and one of our families, Mark and Donna has a relative who was a fireman who eventually committed suicide, and he left a suicide note explaining in detail how he had been molested by a Colorado Roman Catholic priest when this fireman, when he was young, a young teenager, his dad died. And so the priest came alongside the family to offer comfort, became the good friend, took this young kid on trips, camping trips, airplane trips, hotel rooms, but he was also getting him drunk and molesting him. And so eventually, so the guy became an alcoholic from that very summer. The priest would get him drunk, and he never stopped ever since, trying to cover up the misery and the shame. And he basically drank his life away into severe depression and then killed himself, shot himself to death. So we're going to try to get Donna on the phone. But first, let's go to St. Cloud, Minnesota, wanting to talk about O'Reilly O'Reilly. This is Dan. Speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, I just want to make a few quick comments about your appearance on the O'Reilly O'Reilly show.
Yes.
I just have someone called me when it was on. I caught the last few minutes of it, and a few points I heard you try to attempt to make before Bill interrupted you. Talking about spanking your children, does Bill O'Reilly know the difference between spanking your kid and beating your kid?
Well, he uses beating exclusively because he tries to smear. If spanking was so bad, he wouldn't have to call it beating all the time. But he's trying to do that to subtly get people who don't think clearly to take his side. But I don't really – that's his motive in doing that. But I don't object to that all that much.
Okay.
Because on the other side are the timid conservative Christian leaders who hardly talk about spanking. And when they do talk about it in detail, many of them really water it down.
Okay.
And, you know, the Bible says if you beat your child with a rod, he will not die.
Yes.
And you beat him with the rod, and otherwise you don't love him if you don't spank him. So spanking, beating, I know what O'Reilly's trying to do, but we could deal with it. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yurt Live. When we get back onto the show, we just got Donna on the line, so we'll get to Donna in a moment. But I want to let you know we have someone in, where is that, Loveland, Colorado? No, not quite Loveland. Just north of the Denver metro area has given a gift to cover the shortfall for Bob and Yurt Live for the next month. And so we are going to stay on in Denver another month. That would be through January. And our goal, we have a $2,000 a month shortfall. We had, and we're asking people to pledge, if they can, $100 a month. Now, maybe somebody wants to help keep the show on our flagship station, and they could pledge less. And thank you very much. That would be great, $50, $25. But we've had 11 people pledge $100 a month, so now our shortfall is down to $900 a month. And if you think you could help out, if you'd like Bob and Yurt Live to stay on the air, please give us a call, 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278. We could use your help. Also, hey, Christmas is coming up, and do you have all your gifts picked out? Well, it's not too late to call us at the same number and order our videos, audio tape albums, the manuscript, the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. call us at 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. Oh, yeah, and if you're in the Denver area, come on and visit us at Denver Bible Church. You can get the address on the web, denverbiblechurch.org. Out of state, you could even get the sermons. Just call us, and you could get them delivered to you each month. All right, I'm looking forward to talking to Donna in a moment when we get out of this commercial break. That'll be of interest. Let's see. Okay. Now, the plot manuscript. We keep getting wonderful comments from people. In fact, for those of you who called in just this past week and thanked us about the plot, I want to thank you. I want to thank you very much for your support and encouragement. And we had a guy out here from Indiana, Goshen, Indiana, this week. He came out to visit us at Denver Bible Church. In fact, he came to one of our protests here at an abortionist home on Saturday. And his name is Daryl Berkey. And he said, Bob, I had my pastor listen to the Plot audio tape album, 150 people in the church, and he liked it a lot. Welcome back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. So there's a dozen U.S. grand juries looking into these allegations that bishops hid child sexual abuse by priests and actually relocated the priest, helped the priest find fresh targets, find unsuspecting families to seduce again. And, you know, if a bishop finds out that one of his priests under his authority has sexually molested a child, well, that bishop should kick that priest out of the ministry. That's what he should do. But he keeps him in the ministry and he puts him into an unsuspecting church. And then if a bishop did that, say, a few times, and when he moved a child molester from one parish to another, and then he starts getting complaints at the second church that the priest is molesting kids, and then if he moves them again to another, then forget it. Then you're talking about full and complete culpability, if that happened. The first move is bad enough. So that's the kind of information that victims, their family members, want to know. And we've got, at Denver Bible Church, we have a family. The mom and dad is Mark and Donna. Is this Donna?
Yes, it is.
Donna, thanks for talking to us on the show tonight.
Thanks, Bob, for having me.
You're welcome. A few months ago, you were in the studio, and we read on the air, although we had to censor it a little bit, we read a letter that was written by one of your relatives.
Correct.
Basically his suicide letter, talking about the Roman Catholic priest who had molested him when he was a young teenager. Could you remind us? We don't want to get into, you know, even at the time we tried to avoid the really graphic descriptions.
Right. I don't think I could do that anyway.
No, right. Of course you wouldn't. But could you remind us of the story and basically what the letter said?
Well, basically, this was a cousin of mine, and his father and my father were first cousins, actually. And his father passed away in March of 68, and shortly thereafter, the Catholic priest started, you know, coming over to the house, to my, you know, relative's house quite often, and
To show compassion.
Right. And we were all just like so happy to have this mentor in his life because he was taking him, you know, all the things he loved because that's what he did growing up with his father and my father and stuff. They, you know, that was a big part of his life.
Right.
And so he started taking him on these trips. And it must have just been a short time afterwards, they moved to a different house, and I didn't see this priest coming around very often, didn't think anything of it until at the time of his suicide, I had heard it, through the grapevine at his memorial service that this had happened.
That your cousin had been molested.
Right. I had no idea that had happened, at all.
Right. As far as you knew, the priest came into his life and then was gone.
Right. My cousin had gotten into high school, and I figured, he probably was kind of into his friends and doing his own thing.
Yeah, so this was the summer before high school?
Right.
Okay. So that gives us an idea how old he was. He was 13?
12? Right. Exactly.
All right.
And so then it was years later when my mom passed away, going through her belongings, I found this letter just recently and brought it to you, and that's when we, read some of it on the air.
So if I could recall the letter, basically your cousin was saying that he named the priest by name.
Correct.
And he said he can't really blame his 20-some years of alcoholism completely on the priest because it was his fault. It was his life, and he's the one that was doing the drinking. But then he began to describe what this priest did to him.
Right.
On these trips, he would get him drunk, and he began to basically sodomize your cousin. And how devastated he was by this whole process. I think he said something like he always felt guilty, he always felt filthy or ashamed.
Well, and he tied his faith in his God to this priest.
Oh, right.
And it had shattered that.
Yeah, that he had faith in God.
Right.
But when the priest did this, since the priest was so closely associated with God, then he lost his own faith.
Right. And he had just lost his father.
Right, he lost his father, he lost the church, he lost God.
Right.
And
he lost his self-esteem,
His self-esteem, and he became an alcoholic as a freshman in high school.
Right.
What a devastating life. So then he went on to become a fireman, and in this society we honor firemen.
Yeah.
Especially since September 11th, but this one fireman had this terrible secret. He was going to counseling. He ended up writing this letter, and then he shot himself?
Right.
Yeah, what a tragedy.
Yeah, and I should kind of revamp that. He was a fireman with the forest fire. I guess I just called him a fireman, but not thinking of that. See, he was outdoors again, loved the outdoors, so he was a firefighter in the wilderness.
Oh, in like the forest service?
Right.
Forestry.
Right.
So, and that priest had taken him camping on occasion, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and also to an airplane to another city and hotels and all that.
Hunting trips and things like that.
So, so you guys contacted, after we did the show, you contacted the Denver Roman Catholic Archdiocese.
Right.
And if I recall, what you asked them was, and you and your husband Mark told me explicitly, and you also got the fireman's brother's permission to proceed.
Right.
Because he wanted the information too.
Right.
So it's not just the cousin, it's also the brother.
Right.
Who is appreciative that you took up this issue.
Right.
This cause. And you asked them, you said, we would like to know if there were other accusations against this priest and if he had been moved.
Right.
That's what we would like to know. If this was a one-time thing, then even from the church's perspective, maybe it was unavoidable. But we want to know what other parishes this priest had been in and if there were accusations and if he had been moved.
Right.
And them being so sorry that this happened and their contrition, they gave you all that information?
That would have been wonderful. No, they did not.
They didn't.
No.
No, they said it was against their policy.
Confidential files, just like if they were an IBM company, that they could not disclose that information.
Yeah, now IBM does not have their managers molesting children as part of their IBM work.
Right.
Right. So if the Roman Catholic Church was contrite and sorry and they had such information, it seems like they should provide it to the families so then the families could decide, in this case, was the church negligent or was this a one-time event?
Mm-hmm.
And so they refused. So I had an idea, Donna.
Okay.
This is why we called you. just with this, you know, this increased effort here by people around the country to get justice in these cases, what if we contacted the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post, and they, you know, we run ads now and then, Denver Bible Church does. What if we, would you and your husband consider giving us permission to run a photocopy of that letter? And of course, we'd have to censor some of it out because of how graphic it is.
Right.
But to ask the Denver Archdiocese to truly show contrition and to let the victims' families know if this was a one-time only case or if this priest had other similar accusations against him.
Mm-hmm.
What's your first take on that?
Well, to kind of update you too, Bob, is we have some investigation going on with this case too.
Yeah.
And we're coming up with some really strong evidence that puts this priest, I mean an eyewitness account of this priest in the bathroom with my cousin as he's very sick because he's drunk.
Oh.
So.
Oh, in other words, an eyewitness who was there in the hotel room.
Right.
Confirming that part of the story.
Confirming that my cousin was drunk and very sick and that this priest was alone with him in the bathroom.
Oh.
So, I mean, we're kind of pulling together bits and pieces of that.
Right.
And.
All right. So it sounds like. It sounds like you're not sure right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would just like to check to see if this would hurt the investigation in any way. And
or,
if not,
or help, because maybe others.
Right.
You know, we don't even know if the Rocky Mountain News, Denver Post, would let us put the priest, run the whole letter.
Right. Well, they wouldn't run the whole letter, I don't think.
Well, we'd want to censor out the graphic parts. But,
right.
For example, where your cousin mentions the priest by name.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else? If the newspapers were willing to let us pay to run this, to call for justice,
mm-hmm.
and that the church show contrition and
right.
really show if they're sorry, to act like they're sorry, maybe you could just call the Archdiocese again,
okay.
you or your representative, and say, you know, we want to give you a second chance to give us this information, and if not, we're going to run this letter.
Okay.
That's a possibility.
That's a good possibility, yeah.
Yeah, so why don't we talk then? You know, Donna, the way I do things is sort of ad hoc.
No, you're wonderful. You have been such a big support for Mark and I that I don't even think we'd have gotten started without your support and your prayers. So.
Well, you're kind.
Thank
but you know, sometimes we get an idea preparing for the show,
mm-hmm.
and if we don't talk about it right away, it just disappears. We forget about it.
Well, we can't let this disappear or forget about it because
no.
I do want justice, and yes, I do want revenge, and I want this guy off the streets because in my heart, this is not the first time because his method of operation was so calculated and so despicable that really we're gonna have resolution to this.
Oh, well, and you know, certainly we will on Judgment Day.
Yeah, right.
And with the current climate where it looks like the veil of secrecy around the Roman Catholic Archdiocese is coming down.
Well, I hope not fast enough for me. I had hoped, you know, a while back they had talked about they were going to go back years back and disclose things, and then that fell apart.
Well, let me tell you what's going on. In New Hampshire, there's a Bishop John McCormick, who was a former Boston church official. And just this past week, he's entered into a plea bargain that's given the prosecutors what appears to be thousands of pages of documents to help uncover the truth there. So we'll be right back. Right, Donna? Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later. Bye. That was Donna. And we just finished up our conversation. So when we get back on the air, I have to thank thank Donna for that information and wish her well and offer whatever help we can give. All right. Now, hey, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. You can use that to call us to get on the air, for one, or if you want to get any of our materials. Like, have you seen our video, Get Out of the Matrix, where I got to debate a philosophy class, the whole class, and their teacher about, is there such a thing as right and wrong? All right? That was really really an extraordinary time. I asked the professor who was sitting in the back of the room, a woman, I asked her, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And she said, well, that depends. She didn't know. It depended. What did absolute mean? So I told her she was a fool in front of the class. And somebody had a handheld home video camera, and we videotaped it. And it was just extraordinary. It was really extraordinary. And so we have that. It's called Get Out of the Matrix. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Matrix, but it's really fun. Anyway, we've got that video. We've got so many neat videos. In fact, we have a special offer for Christmas, $59.95. Pick any four videos or any three audio tape albums or the plot in any other one item. What if somebody picked like the plot in our fax machine? Well, that's an item, but it's not an item we offer. Well, for the right amount of money, we'd offer it. Yeah, but no. So $59.95. How much? $500? You could get one for $125. Our engineer wants to sell our fax machine for $500. We auctioned off all our furniture one time off the TV set. That was fun. We'll be right back. Hey, here's an email from Hanama Bay in Oahu for public school teachers tuning in. That's in Hawaii. Donna, I want to say thank you to Donna. And during the commercial break, we finished up our conversation, and we're gonna go to Dustin in Indy in just 30 seconds. But Donna, thank you for fighting that fight. We at Denver Bible Church are happy to help. If you think it will help, we will contact the Rocky Mountain News and Denver Post and see if they'd be willing to let us pay to run that letter as an ad. And we'll point out in there that at Denver Bible Church, we call for justice in all circumstances. And if any Christians out there are wondering about Donna mentioning vengeance, well, then call us up. The lines are filled right now. But if you hear anybody hang up, then call up 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278, and you could ask, why would a Christian want vengeance? You could ask that, and we'll talk about it. All right, now let's go to Indianapolis. Dustin, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Dean.
Oh, Dean, welcome.
Yeah, I'm calling in from South Bend.
Ah, hey, Dean, hold on a second, all right?
Okay.
All right, thank you. My fault. Dustin.
Yes.
Welcome, Dustin.
Hi, Bob. I want to thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
And I'd just like to say that I love your ministry, and you've truly changed my life.
Oh.
But I would like to make a comment about the scandal in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
I've met you before, and I let you know then that I'd worked in a correctional facility for juveniles, and the majority of the people in that facility were sex offenders.
Okay.
So I've met literally hundreds of teenage pedophiles. And one thing that I've noticed is that these were all males, by the way, is that they all had male victims. Mm. And there's definitely, to me, a connection between homosexuality and pedophilia. You never hear of these guys molesting young girls. It's always young boys.
Well, it does happen occasionally, but there is a, a much greater percentage of the homosexual community molests children as compared to the heterosexual community.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. And there's refereed scientific research to back that up. And, you know, homosexuals, if you say that, they just go crazy.
Right,
and they take a fit. And so then you talk about the homosexuals molesting men molesting boys and women molesting girls. And they say, well, that's not a homosexual molestation. That's pedophilia. And you say, huh? Under that definition, then there's no way. There's no conceivable way to show if homosexuals are more likely to molest children. If every homosexual man that molests a boy is considered not a homosexual, then obviously they win by default.
That's true.
But there's plenty of evidence. In fact, there's a publication, Psychology Reports, that did research way back in the 1980s. And I think it was in 1986, they pointed out, they sort of summarized these studies and showed that it was very significant, extraordinarily more likely for a homosexual man to molest a child than a heterosexual.
Yeah.
So anything else?
Well, just one little quick comment is that obviously any priest or any man, for that matter, that would have sexual intercourse or any type of sexual contact with a little boy is obviously a homosexual.
Well, yeah, when you have sex with someone of the same sex, by definition, that's homosexual.
Yeah.
And, of course, the homosexuals won't admit that.
Because if they weren't homosexuals, they'd be molesting little girls.
Yeah,
they were just pedophiles.
Right. If a man, an adult man, molests a girl, a cheerleader, well, then he's a heterosexual child molester.
Right.
We could admit that. I mean, it's disgusting, but it would be true. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that, Dustin. Now, yeah, the American Psychological Association came under sustained fire from family groups, psychologists, members of Congress, and others for advancing in the Psychological Bulletin, their publication, their prestigious journal, that pedophilia might be normal behavior. Yeah, that pedophilia might be normal behavior. And so the kind of people who came against that were Dr. Laura and Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Judith Reisman and Janet Parshall and others. You know, sort of the conservative Jewish Christian community came against that. The rest of the media just let it slide. No big problem. But NAMBLA, you've heard of NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association? Yeah, they hailed this study that was put out by the American Psychological Association, the APA. They hailed it on their website as good news about man-boy love. We were talking about NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, on the air 11 years ago and talking about the public high schools who would allow them not only to meet and schedule and advertise their meetings about how to seduce young boys, how to sexually molest children, but they'd also display their materials, like in San Francisco. And NAMBLA marched in the gay pride parades for years. So just, there's a journal of pedophilia. And, you know, Allen Ginsberg, you remember him? The Boulder, Colorado, the People's Republic of Boulder, where CU is, he was a nationally acclaimed homosexual poet who publicly advocated pedophilia, that it should be legal to have sex with children, just like NAMBLA's slogan is sex by eight or it's too late. Well, Ginsberg died in 1997, but Boulder honored him at their annual festival each year. They gave him the key to the city. There's a homosexual high school in New York City, and it was run by Damian Martin. And he was quoted in Out magazine, one of the two largest homosexual magazines, saying no kid has ever been hurt by oral sex. That's Out magazine. And he's the head of a high school, homosexual high school. Hey, there's a marketplace for him, huh? And then The Advocate, the other largest homosexual magazine, an article by Carl Maves titled Getting Over It, Get Over It, where he's saying that men and teenagers who say they were molested as children should just get over it. And he said, how many gay men would have missed out on a valuable, liberating experience, one that initiated them into their sexuality, if it weren't for so-called molestation? So mainstream homosexual publications have tolerated or even advocated sex with children, pedophilia. Yeah, even in the mainstream media, like Time magazine, they give these guys a pass. In the ACLU, they give these guys a pass. Like NAMBLA exists for one purpose, to promote the sexual sex with children, sex by eight, or it's too late. And a New York City teacher, Peter Melzer, he published an article in, I think it was in, he was the editor of NAMBLA's journal. So he published this article in NAMBLA's own publication. And I won't tell you the title of the article because it's just unbelievably sick and perverted. But the article was on, quote, how to make that special boy feel good, about having sex with kids. And Time magazine did an article on the ACLU defending this Peter Melzer because there's a police report that Melzer would go to the Philippines, which was a haven for homosexual pedophiles. And so Time magazine said, as far as the police report on Melzer's alleged sex with a Filipino boy, there is no hard evidence that he abused this or any other boy in the U.S. Oh, great. He just writes about it, and he goes to the Philippines not to seduce children. But at any rate, the ACLU said, if it's NAMBLA today, who is it tomorrow? Who is it tomorrow? It's the rapists tomorrow. It's the people who advocate killing Jews or killing blacks. That's who it is. If you advocate a crime, you should not be protected. And it's a crime to have sex with young children. And so Time magazine does this puff piece on Peter Melzer, and they call it For the Love of Kids. That's the title of the article in Time magazine. Allison Publications, have you heard of them? That's a publisher out of Boston. It's the leading gay publisher in the nation with hundreds of titles. And one of their titles is Pedophilia, the Radical Case. It's 300 pages of why and how seven-year-old boys can have sex, how to bring them to climax. That's the leading homosexual publisher in the country. Hey, when we get back on the show, I got to go to the phones, of course. This is a commercial break here. But I want to mention another publication from Allison Publications, another book, a textbook for kindergarten kids called Daddy's Roommate. And Gloria Has Two Moms. Wasn't that the title of that one? Gloria Has Two Moms. Gloria Has Two Moms. I think that was the title. Just jotting that down here. I want to mention those. And Bob and Yurt Live, at one point, we published the sequel to Daddy's Roommate. But I don't even have a single copy of that any longer. It's called Daddy's Roommate is Dead, the sequel. You know, if anybody has a copy of that and gets that to us, we'll put it on the web. Daddy's Roommate is Dead, the sequel. Oh, that was just devastating. All right, so anyway, do we have any materials that puts in print? Oh, yeah, we do. The material information about homosexuality. We do. If you get our article pack, the article pack is only $5 plus shipping and handling. But the article pack, just make sure, ask them for both articles on homosexuality. Because usually we'll put five or six different articles in the article pack, mix them up, give you a couple of each. So we have a couple on, one is called Coming Out of the Closet. That's when I came out of the closet. I'm homophobic. And the other is called on homosexuals adopting kids. Should homosexuals adopt kids? So if you order our article pack, and by the way, if you get something else, like if you order the plot, now let me think. If I say we could throw in the article pack for free, would that confuse the staff? It might, right? Because you can't change the rules every night ad hoc on a whim. The volunteers go crazy, not to mention the paid employees. We don't have too many of those. But you should get an article pack if you want some of this information. We got a lot of this in print. And I think it will it'll really educate, enlighten people. You let them read these two little pamphlets, and it's people say, wow, I never knew all that. It's really startling. So give us a call, 800-8NYR. Order the article pack. Yeah, Allison Press, the number one publisher of homosexual literature in the country. At least that was a few years ago. I imagine they're still number one. They had a textbook for kindergarten kids called Daddy's Roommate. And years ago, we published the sequel called Daddy's Roommate is Dead, the sequel. And but if I don't even have a single copy of that, if anybody has a copy of that, send it in to us and we'll put it up on the web. We'll scan it, put it on the web, and send it back to you. They also did Gloria Has Two Moms, something like that. Gloria Has Two Mommies. I think that's what they did. All right, let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Dean, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
You know, we've had a lot of conversations about the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And homosexuality and the priesthood.
Yeah.
And I know someone very well who was a Catholic priest and got married.
And that's perfectly fine. He leaves the priesthood, gets married.
Yeah, well, he got booted out unceremoniously.
Because he had a girlfriend.
Well, no, because he got married.
Oh, he got married while he was still a priest.
No, he got booted out because he was planning on getting married.
Oh, I see.
But when you said he has a girlfriend, if he would have stayed in that status, you know, with a girlfriend, everything would have been okay.
Oh.
And in the diocese he got booted out from, it isn't this one up here, but in that diocese about a couple years after he got booted out, and this was around 10 years ago, there was a big scandal erupted, kind of like what happened in Boston.
All right, well, let me see if I understand so far.
Right.
If a Roman Catholic priest is going to marry a woman, he'll get booted out. But if
right.
all he does is have sex with kids, he just gets relocated.
That's yes.
Okay, I
get
it.
That's what happened in that diocese.
Yeah, I get it.
Because there were a lot of priests that were pedophiles, homos, you know, and all these bizarre, you know, I don't think they had any sheep lovers, but I'm sure that would have fallen in the okay category. As long as they didn't get married, it was okay.
Hmm.
Okay, now tell me what's right with that logic.
Hmm. Well, not me.
There's nothing.
Right.
I mean, you know, here's this guy, he does the right thing, and they throw him out on his ear.
Well, getting married is the right thing. Of course, I guess you're saying even if they were having an affair or, you know, fornicating,
right.
they'd keep it quiet. If they're molesting children, they keep it quiet.
Right.
But if an adult man is going to marry a woman, then he's going to get kicked out. There's
right.
something wrong with this picture.
Yeah, huge
Especially
thing wrong with this picture.
Since the Bible says the qualification for a bishop is he should be the husband of one wife, of one woman.
Right.
He should be a one-woman man. So.
Okay, but see, what's wrong with the organizational structure when they, you know, it's like they discourage normal sex and they allow this sick sex to continue going on. It's almost like they reward pedophiles and homos.
Well, if you discourage men from marrying, I guess the Roman Catholic Church thinks that their priests are stronger than David and wiser than Paul, who said it's better to marry than to burn with
lust.
Well,
if you go back 1,000 years, it all had to do with inheriting property.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show. So.
And if they continue the course they're going, they won't have any property.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, and it's almost like an organizational hubris. On account of people like Cardinal Law.
All right.
And it's like they're more concerned about the clergy than they are about the people that have been molested.
Mm. Well,
and, you know,
Dean,
I.
Yeah, no, I want to thank you very much for the point. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right?
Take care, Bob.
Thank you so much for calling, Dean.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Yeah, and when the Bible purports to be the manufacturer's handbook, and in the Bible, when it says that a minister should raise his own children to respect him, and he should be the husband of one woman, then that's pretty straightforward. And for the Catholic Church to change the rules midstream and say, no, a priest cannot be married, they're just asking for trouble. They're just asking for trouble. And they got it. Let's go to Goshen, Indiana. Daryl, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
You know, I think the name of the book you were thinking of earlier is Heather Has Two Mommies.
You got it. Heather Has Two Mommies.
Yeah.
So what's the Gloria? Oh, I remember. There's a book, Gloria Goes to Gay Pride.
Yeah, I think that was Gloria Allred, I think.
I don't. That's pretty funny.
Hey, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Last week you were talking about how the government and the church get involved with helping poor people in ways that hurt them.
Right.
Jesus
All right, Daryl, just for the people who didn't hear it, if the government or a church gives welfare, let's say to a widow who has a couple of teenage kids or 20, 30-year-old kids, and the government or the church helps the widow, then at her time of greatest need, when her husband has died, her own family will not help her. And so that's why God in the Bible prohibits the church from helping a widow like that, because the church will destroy her family, her children. And a widow cares more about her children than herself. So if the church lacks the wisdom and disobeys God blatantly and helps the widow, the church is sinning, and the government does just as bad when the government has welfare programs. So generally, when you help people by giving them money, generally you hurt them. Not always, but in most circumstances.
My question is, how do we help people that doesn't hurt them?
How do you help
people? In ways that won't hurt them.
How do you truly help them?
Right.
Well, you teach them, encourage them. You could offer them jobs. I was up in Boulder, Colorado, debating people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was accused of not caring about the homeless.
Okay.
And there was a homeless guy about 22 years old and his homeless wife about 22. And they were living in the Boulder homeless shelter. In two different, in the men's section, he slept. In the woman's section, she slept. They had been there for a few months. So I said to them, I said, all right, you guys could come and live in my home, and you could have the master bedroom with the attached bathroom. And husband, as long as you will go out every day, when I go out, you go out. And we go to work together. I'll help you find a job. You pay me rent based on what you make, and then you save up and you get an apartment. And they said, forget it. We're not doing that. Right. So who loved that couple and who used them as tokens to get their annual budget subsidized by the taxpayers?
Yeah, one of my favorite bumper stickers that I've ever seen.
Oh, Daryl, tell us the bumper sticker. But by the way, in public, in front of the crowd, they agreed to it. And as soon as the crowd dissipated, they said, no, forget it. We're not going to do that.
Right.
Right. So they were shamed into saying, of course we want a place to stay and we're willing to work.
Right.
But that was a lie, and the homeless shelter was using them as pawns to get their funding so that workers and the administrator could feel good and destroying this couple's marriage and their lives. Okay, so what's the bumper sticker?
I really do work for food.
That's good. Yeah. Friends of mine want to start a framing business, and they're really starting from the ground. They're in their basement,
mm-hmm.
and they're just buying all the equipment. He's done this for years. He's pretty good at it, but they've never run their own business, and they don't know what to call it. And I suggested, we'll frame for food.
There you go.
We'll frame for food. But they don't think that's a good name for a business.
I just want to tell you, I totally enjoyed my visit out there to Colorado.
Daryl Berkey. Daryl, thank you so much. So you got to see Denver Bible Church.
Yes, I sure did.
Up close and personal. Tell me, what were the people like?
Very friendly.
Oh, good.
I really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I was really blessed by the worship time as well.
Oh, the worship music was wonderful. And I'm looking forward to this Sunday, where we have special music, and we have the kids are going to sing a song. And we're really going to have a good – well, is that – yeah, that's this Sunday,
right?
22nd. Daryl, so you visited all the way from Goshen, Indiana.
Right.
And, hey, if you ever want to move out here, we'll save your seat.
Okay.
All right? God bless you.
Bless you.
Appreciate Daryl coming out. That was 93 people. We have a small church, Denver Bible Church. That's why if we run this ad – of this suicide letter by the fireman who has a 12 or 13-year-old was molested repeatedly by this Catholic priest, that ad would cost a few thousand dollars. It'd be hard to run for us, but we would do it one way or another, by hook or by crook. Well, not by crook. I wonder what that means, by hook. At any rate, where did the time go? Look at the time. I can't believe it. The show is over. We just got started. We never got to our bad news about death sentencings. I've been at a 28-year low. Didn't get to the bad news. And also, we didn't get to Donna, a member of Denver Bible Church, calling for vengeance on the air. How's that? Donna calling for vengeance on the air. What do you think of that? If you're a Christian, you hear another Christian asking for vengeance, maybe tomorrow night you could call up 1-800-836-9278. Of course, you can use that phone number also to call us right after the show. Maybe you're one of the ones who could make a pledge of $100 a month to help us stay on our Denver flagship station, the most powerful Christian station in the U.S., KLT 670 AM, 50,000 watts. Wow. Go, Porter, go. But you can call that number right after the show. And in fact, I would be thrilled if somebody wants to order the monthly Bible study album, $34.95, the monthly Bible studies, the sermons, the best of Bob, the eight best shows of the month mailed out to you, or the plot. Or I get to talk to you about our videos or audio tape albums. Call us 1-888-8-NYART. This is Bob and Yart. Remind you to do right and risk the consequences.